Thank you, Leon. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for coming. Public health advocates were very successful in passing vending legislation in Tennessee, so I'd like to share with you some of our efforts. It was a long and arduous journey. That's why I have titled this presentation, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Okay, thank you. Thanks for your indulgence. You can see from this slide that Tennessee in 2008, more than 30% of our adults were obese. This is what we're becoming. And two-thirds of our state are either overweight or obese. And you can see from that we rank in the top five in many of the poor health indicators. And if you look at obesity and overweight among adolescents, we're fifth in the nation. So if you look at 2000, according to CDC, over 75% of all the schools in our state had vending machines. And what I'd like to share with you now is a timeline of how we work together as public health advocates to improve the vending, the quality of foods, nutritional adequacy of foods in our vending machines. We started in 2002. We wanted to get some legislation passed to improve the quality of foods in the vending machines, and it didn't even get out of the legislative committee. In 2003, we had some legislation to ban drinks and candy from school vending, and that failed miserably because it had a fiscal note attached. So then we decided we needed to get serious, we needed to mobilize ourselves across the state. So we became a coalition of coalitions, and we aligned ourselves with the Heart Association, the dietitians, pediatricians, the dentists, dental hygienists, the Tennessee Healthy Weight Network, nurses, Public Health Association, the Rural Health Association of Tennessee, children's health institutions, the PTA, different business organizations. But the key was, if you look at the bottom of the slide, we had a legislative champion. State Representative Ken Givens took this issue on, and he helped move this issue through the state legislature. So this was invaluable to have this key person to be our legislative champion. So our main opposition, as you can imagine, was from the beverage industry, but we didn't realize that our opposition would also come from the Tennessee School Boards Association and the Tennessee School Superintendents Association. And they feared for financial loss for their constituencies. So their mantra was they wanted local districts to decide. They opposed this state mandate because they said ostensibly they wanted the local districts to look at that. So we developed talking points, and you know, in public health we say start where the people are. So our talking points were not always about health. If the talking points were about economics, we used the economic argument. We used a local county substituted milk in their vending machines, and they maintained their profits, so we talked that up. And I know in California, there was one school district that substituted water, put water in their vending machines, and didn't lose any profits, so we talked that up as well. If they were health-oriented, we talked about the health effects of obesity. If they had the argument that, well, it's not just nutrition, you have to address physical activity, this law won't address everything, we said, yes, physical activity is important, but you have to start with diet and nutrition as well. And then we got the argument from a lot of schools that it's the parents' responsibility, it's not the school's responsibility. We agreed with them, yes, parents do share responsibilities, but schools have a role in this as well. So the content of the legislation was it established minimum nutrition standards for foods sold during school hours. And for those of you who are dietitians, we use the 2005 Dietary Guidelines for Americans, 35% or less from fat, 10% from saturated fat. And it banned sales of foods of minimum value. We had healthy portion sizes, and the venues that we addressed were the vending machines, snack bars, the a la carte items within the schools, within the cafeterias, and also fundraisers. And we had wanted to apply it throughout all grades K through 12, but we managed to get pre-K through grade 8. So in 2004, we're happy to say policy 708 passed. It became a rule of the Tennessee General Assembly and was titled Minimum Nutrition Standards for Individual Food Items Sold to Pupils in Grades Pre-K through 8. So the 2004 legislation said, we're going to now decide what those minimum standards are. So we're going to set have a task force to decide what the rules are that this legislation will embody. So it required the State Board of Education to work with the Tennessee the Tennessee Department of Education and the Tennessee Department of Health, which heretofore had been in silos. They really didn't work together. So this was a nice way to get everybody on the same page. So they decided we have to decide what these regulations will look like. This was in 2004. So that's when the task force was formed, and you can see the composition of the board, advocates, health advocates, but also vendors and business leaders and school board members, people who were for the legislation, who were opposing the legislation, all had to get together and decide on what the standards would be. So it doesn't surprise me that it took a year to decide what the rules were. So then they had on March 28, 2005, they had the public presentation of the rules, and there were all sorts of, I was there, all sorts of advocates came to hear the rules and talk for it or against it. And you can see that the rules, they had a second reading where they incorporated a reasonable timeline. And that's where the corporate vendor said, we're moving too fast, we can't do this too quickly, let's take our time. So they decided on a phase-in. And then if you look at the portion size, there were some advocates, and I can understand their point of view from the Dairy Council, that said, you know, 8 ounces for milk, since there's such a low intake of calcium in the state, we'd like to have 16 ounces portion sizes and also include the flavored beverages. But we stood firm and said the children really need to know what an 8 ounce portion size is. So the 8 ounce portions were upheld. So this is, and I have a copy of a few copies in case you really want to see the details of what the legislation looks like, what the guidelines were. But they were fashioned after the 2005 Dietary Guidelines for America. So the policy 708 addressed grades pre-K through 8, portion sizes, nutrient-dense foods. It took effect, it lasted 45 minutes before school started to 30 minutes after school ended. So on school premises, you had to have these healthy foods, and it addressed those four venues I mentioned before. And this was the phase-in. Remember, this bill was passed in 2004. So in grades pre-K through 5, 100% of those schools had to be compliant within a one-year period of this task force recommendations, so 2006. And with grades K through 8, 50% of those schools had to be compliant within 1 year, but they had 2 years to be 100% compliant. So we started in 2004, 2007, they get fully implemented. And this is just how the law reads. It's what I talked about, the phase-in point. Now here's the sticking point. This is where it gets ugly, in my opinion, the evaluation. In the regulation, there was no fiscal note attached to who was going to monitor this. So they decided the evaluation would be the purview of each local board of education. And the school systems will include a wide variety of constituents groups in determining how the evaluation will be conducted and what should be looked at. And these are examples of what the law said could be used for evaluation. Participation rates in school food programs, student satisfaction surveys, parent satisfaction surveys, the frequency and types of health problems that the nurses wrote on their logs, and the same type of problems that mental health counselors, the school the behavioral counselor noted on their logs, the incidence of student behavior infractions, teacher surveys of classroom behavior attention span, and also test scores. My question to you is, what's missing? I'm sorry?
BMI.
That's one thing that's missing. What else? I'm sorry? Right? Monitoring it. Is this the sales? Is this being implemented? Are the vending machines actually featuring these healthy foods? So there was no oversight, no monitoring at all. Then in 2010, the food industry, the vending industry, tried to reduce the impact of the vending law and tried to pass efforts to enlarge portion sizes and tried to make efforts to add energy drinks. But these, we lobbied again, these were unsuccessful. So these are the lessons learned from Tennessee. You need, if you're gonna do advocacy of this type, it needs to be interdisciplinary. Needs to be broad-based. We had people from rural areas, urban areas, throughout the, Tennessee is a very long state. It takes 8 hours to get from one, from the west to the east. So we had grassroots efforts in our coalitions throughout the entire state. You need to tailor a strategic plan of how you're going to get this passed in the legislature and how you're going to mobilize your volunteers. Use evidence-based national resources, the Action for Healthy Kids, CDC, anything that you can get to show that this is a national mandate. Frame the message to the audience. We like to think in terms of health. Most people don't think in terms of health. Make your point salient to what your concerns are. Identify a legislative champion. And Mauricio talked about some legislators were very important in helping him get his work done. All politics are local, so you need to make sure that when the bill is coming up, mobilize your volunteers to make phone calls to their local legislators, phone calls, letter writing campaigns, email blasts. Legislators listen to their constituents. And so the media are also local. Write editorials, letters to the editor. So you want to get the legislators' attention on the statewide level, but also get the individual at the district level. Persistence is the key. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. And make sure that you ensure compliance with the legislation. Yes, it's nice to have the law passed. We worked hard to get it passed. But if we don't know if it's being adhered to, then, and if it's not adhered to, and the BMI doesn't go down, then our opponents have the ammunition to say, see, they passed the legislation, it didn't really make a difference, doesn't matter what we have in the vending machines. So compliance, adherence is a very important part, and maintain vigilance. So this is who we're doing it for. And I'd like to leave you with the quote, knowledge is not morally neutral and often demands action. Thank you very much.